सहनावगत सहन भुनक्त सह वैर्यंकर वावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शांति 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 ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Here's the papers. Okay, so we will start with the chapter 5, with the papers. So, maybe before we do, then is there anything regarding to the chapter 4? We were going through the what's the importance of liberation for a devotee. Now then we went through the process of what actually the impersonalists do, why there is a problem with the process as such. Then attraction for the completely liberated personalities. And then we went through the Atmarama verse. Then five kinds of liberation. Out of those, one is completely unacceptable by a devotees. Then the topmost devotee, who is a topmost devotee, and then about the attraction of different devotees to different mood of the Lord. Yes.
It says that because they have no idea of the transcendental form of the Lord, there's no chance of the impersonalist chanting and hearing his transcendental activities. But can you please explain that?
Well, okay. See, the first mistake what they do is actually they consider themselves as the Lord himself. Because they see the Brahman as being the highest, whatever they know, whatever it exists. So they consider themselves as part of the Brahman, which in one sense, it is a fact. But, so then they make the mistake that because they are part and parcel of the Lord, and they think the Brahman is the highest, so then they see themselves non-different from the Lord. We know that the jiva is non-different, not in terms of quality, but in quantity, no, there is a huge difference. No, Lord is Purna, but the jiva is not. So that's what the impersonalists don't understand. And because of that, so then they actually have no chance to actually glorify the Lord. Because then when they do, they glorify automatically themselves. So it's all about gratification. So they cannot discriminate. They don't see. They cannot see the difference. But, no, as also Srila Prabhupada mentioned, that even though they are so offensive, so even if they chant the holy name, they don't get any progress. But, Haridas Thakur, he mentions that even though they are chanting actually not Namabhas, their chanting is Namaparat. But even though it's Namaparat, there is no other way they can progress only by chanting. So if they do chant the holy name, and by some way they get actually the causeless mercy of the Vaishnava or of the Lord, then they can progress. That's their only chance. Like, not Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he writes Jaiva Dharma. And then there is a very nice story about Maivadi Sannyasi, who, he was very strict, Maivadi Sannyasi, you know, following all these, the sadhana of the Shankarites. But once he comes across as some devotees, you know, happy devotees, just chanting some holy name, and then since that time, it was in his mind, now, actually, why they are so happy? No, I am not. So what is their happiness? What is the source of their happiness? No. And if it's the Lord, how come that they are happy and I am not so? So it made him think that actually he was seeking shelter of Vaishnava Guru. And he did find, and then under his guidance, then he progressed up to the highest stages of devotional service. But the change came over his heart and he was willing to change. The problem is when the Mayavadis are so rigid and they don't want to change, then there is no real chance for them. So the problem is in the mentality.
Why is it that means as Vaishnavas we should have very strong, we're trying to develop very, very strong faith in the purpose of the acharyas and the scripture like that.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Mayavad school is the same like that, that they try, that they should have that. They need to have that implicit faith if they want to continue in that way, no?
Well, yes, okay, following gurus, gurus' instructions, it's very important. So they know the culture, they know this is part of the sadhana, so then they know it. But where it comes from? Like we discussed before, right? Even Shankaracharya, so what was his purpose actually to appear? Why was his purpose to preach Mayavad?
To give people faith in the Veda.
So to destroy the Buddhism.
Hmm.
But when he was leaving this world, so he dismissed the whole Mayavad system. But his own disciples were so much engrossed in it, they didn't understand. Because, you see, their philosophy is very much based on to take the scriptures, take the Vedas, take the Brahma Sutra, and twist it. Twist the meanings. Because if you know Sanskrit very well, you can do that. But, say, among our acharyas, Jiva Goswami, he was better than them. So he wrote it such a way, said sandarbhas, such a way so that you cannot twist them. You can explain it any way and it still gives the same meaning. So he was a master. There was nobody else who could misinterpret his writings. So even the Mayavadis wouldn't touch. They won't touch Srimad Bhagavatam. They don't really make commentary. They make Bhagavad Gita. They make Vedanta Sutra. So this is that's they twist it such a way so it fits them. Now there are so many translations of Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada knew that. He could have taken one and then just, okay, we will study from this one. But the problem with those is that there was no English Bhagavad Gita, which was translated by a devotee at that time. And those which were translated, so there were always some motivation. So only a devotee can understand the meanings of what the Lord is saying and will give proper explanation of that. So that's why Prabhupada wrote the Bhagavad Gita as it is. So now we have proper explanation of Bhagavad Gita from a pure devotee. So then you understand the mood. But otherwise, it will not be possible. So that's the importance. Yes?
What's wrong with the personal association with the Lord as a fixed type of relation? You don't do
what personal association, it's not a problem. There are devotees, there are Vaishnavas who personally associate. Going to Vaikuntha means it's also like a personal association, but the one which devotees don't accept is merging into Lord, becoming one with the Lord. Sayujya. Yes.
And what is the difference with the highest goal?
Okay.
Personally associated with the God and
see, the as we were discussing before, it's that as long as the devotee has the desire that he wants to serve the Lord certain way, he wants to do this for the Lord, he wants to do this, it's a pure desire. But nonetheless, it's still the desire of the devotee, how he wants the Lord to reciprocate with him. But the devotees in Vrindavan, they don't care what they do. Just Krishna is happy. If Krishna wants me to be with him, I'll be so happy. If Krishna wants me to leave, I'll leave if it makes him happy. I don't care. But the devotee, if he is with Krishna, he is happy. If he has to leave Krishna, then he is not happy. But because his desire is to be always with Krishna. So Krishna will arrange it. Okay, you will always be with me. But the devotees in Vrindavan, anything which pleases Krishna, I'll do. And that makes him happy, makes me happy. So even Srimati Radharani, if Krishna just doesn't want to be with her, then she will lament. She will be, very much having fever. There will be so many, obstacles. But still, as long as she understands, okay, if this makes Krishna happy, then I am happy. So that's the difference. All right. So then we move on to chapter 5, the purity of devotional service. So far then we will start with the summary of Srila Prabhupada Goswami's instructions. All of the previous instructions imparted by Srila Prabhupada Goswami in his broad statements can be summarized thus. As long as one is materially inclined or desirous of merging into this spiritual effulgence, one cannot enter into the realm of pure devotional service. Next, Rupa Goswami states that devotional service is transcendental to all material considerations and that it is not limited to any particular country, class, society or circumstance. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, devotional service is transcendental and has no cause. Devotional service is executed without any hope for gain and it cannot be checked by any material circumstances. It is open for all, without any distinction, and it is the constitutional occupation of all the living entities. So, Okay, we can just go one by one, and then it's basically what we already went through, but a little bit maybe summarize it. So as long as one is materially inclined of merging into the spiritual effulgence, one cannot enter into the realm of pure devotional service. So we discussed it already. It's as long as there is some attachment to material objects or anything, then it's not really possible to get fully attracted, attached to the Lord. And the effulgence of the Lord being the Brahma Jyoti, being that as a goal, it's not going to help us. Because that Brahma Jyoti being qualityless, it cannot create the happiness of the Atma, which it's the nature. So then, even though if that jiva enters the Brahma Jyoti, it's just a question of time when it will not be satisfied. So it will have to again come out and perform qualities, perform activities. Yes.
Yesterday you were saying that we're going through the different levels on the way to the spiritual world.
Yes.
That was a bit scary for me.
Okay. Yes. Okay. You see, it is tough. It's very, very tough. But the mercy of the Lord comes as the mercy of the Vaishnava. So at the time when the jiva is leaving the world, so then yes, you get many opportunities to see, and if you would be alone, it's unlikely that you can make it through. But this is where the mercy of Guru comes. Because he grabs us and he drags us through the whole pathway, not to the spiritual world. Well, it's like when you go with the kid, next to some sweet shop, and then he's like, just keep quiet, let's go. We are in hurry. So like that, that you may, but you don't get to taste that, because the spiritual master knows this is all just a broken glass. The real jewel is somewhere else. So as soon as you see the real jewel, you forgot about the broken glass. But we don't know that. So we see the broken glass and we think this is the jewel. So that's the mercy of Guru. So that's why the important elements is we follow the instructions of Guru, because we establish the relationship, and through him we establish a relationship with Krishna. So Krishna reciprocates the way that he takes us through. Yeah? Yes.
When he mentions here that one cannot enter the realm of pure devotional service, so his karma yoga is outside, but he's proceeding from prema. That's the point you made before, right? Is that right?
Yes. Okay. Then next. Rupa Goswami states that devotional service is transcendental to all material considerations and that it is not limited to any particular country, class, society or circumstance. So, that's the devotional service to the Lord, it's not limited. It's unlimited. And as such, anybody can perform devotional service. No limitations mean no limitations. So, and that was not given actually by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He, disregarding the particular caste or even a religion, no, he wouldn't really discriminate. Anybody who was capable, anybody who was desiring of performing devotional service, he could perform devotional service. So we should not try to discriminate ourselves that, oh, this person does not deserve devotional service. Not true. Even the Mayavadis, they do deserve devotional service. But in which form? What can we do for them? When they like to argue, and we don't know any no contra-arguments, if they don't respect that we would not try to preach to them, that's not the point. We should not do it. But we can give them prasad. And then hope that they get purified. Because prasad is transcendental. So if that's the only way we can do what we can do, then do that. We should not try to do something which doesn't bring any auspicious results. And if we are not confident even not to come close to them and give them prasad, at least just respect. Okay, no, still, it's a conditioned soul. And then, hopefully, just a question of time when they get away from this material world. But inside, there is pure soul. So try to understand this. So even though they are, the Mayavadis, and they are just not worthy to even talk to them. Okay, but still, that much respect we can have. If we would look, we would find at least some good quality. But because their philosophy is not good, so then we don't need to seek their association. But to respect from distance, because the spirit soul is inside, we can still give. But it doesn't mean that we go and ask them, oh, can you please help me with this? I don't really understand some topic. That's not what we will do. And as Srila Prabhupada also mentioned, that when you see like the Mayavadi sannyasi, you can still offer respect to him. Now you offer respect to the sannyas. Because sannyas means renunciation, so the person took sannyas, that's respectable. You don't have to offer the respect to the Mayavadi. Right? But you can respect the jiva, within. Yes? It's better, yes. Yes. No. There is no fault. See, even though you do that, you actually get a deeper understanding. No, so there is no fault in doing so. Even if somebody dresses as a sannyasi and you offer respects to him, you get the benefit of offering respect to sannyasi. He gets the karma for that. Somebody actually offered respect to him, even though he doesn't deserve the respect of being sannyasi. But there is no fault on your side. Yes?
So if religion is not an obstacle for devotional service, is Allah a bona fide name of God then?
It's another mood of... See, in Mecca, what do they have in Mecca? Everybody is, nobody knows what's inside. And everybody is worshipping. What it is? As I know, it's a shalagram. And as I know, it's Shivalinga. So, God appears many ways. Because some people are, many people are different mentalities, right? So then, according to that, Lord, he appears as an avatar, like say Shiva, right? So Mahadev, he attracts certain people, and they will consider him as he is the supreme. But the literature which describes it, there are the Puranas, which are the Tamasic Puranas. But those people, they are very attractive. No, Mahadev, he's full of snakes, ghosts, no, Bhutas, the Pishachas, no, everybody around him. But it's very scary, but for somebody it's very attractive. So those people will be attracted, and they will consider him, he is the Supreme. But as they worship him, as they slowly understand, they will elevate themselves to higher realms. So eventually they will understand that Mahadev, he is not the Supreme, but he is a great Vaishnava. He himself worships the Lord. But in the beginning, they will not be able to understand, they will not be able to see it. That's why it's written like this. So there is no need to argue about that. But discuss, or just chanting, or even discussion describing Mahadev. Now, when he's described not as a Supreme, but as a devotee, it's purifying. So whatever we are capable of, we can help those devotees. But trying to agitate them, trying to make them feel uncomfortable, will not help. Unless we are expert, then we can smash everything to the ground. But if we are not, then yes.
You mentioned the other day that we shouldn't associate with the Dhanvasis, Dhanvasis, because they have a different movement. If someone seeks our association, what shall be our...
See, it's not that we should not associate with them. In fact, it's good to associate. You have friends, you do, but they have certain mood. So we should not really take up the mood. Srila Prabhupada, he's giving a certain mood, how we do things, what we do. We are concerned. We know what we are doing, right? We cook prasad, or we cook the bhoga, offer it to the Lord on the altar, and then the Brijbasis, they may just cook, offer it in the mind, because everything is going to be offered to Krishna. So it may appear that they don't offer anything. But it's done. But we don't know how they do it. They have different mood. In Puri, the residents of Puri, they also have different mood. With Lord Jagannath, it's everything cooked in Puri, it's cooked by Lakshmi Devi. It is offered to Jagannath. Then everything is prasad. You see, there are sometimes very offensive, and then they dislike Westerners, this, that. But when it comes to prasad, there is no way how they would be disrespectful. They know this is Jagannath himself. So they may be offensive, seemingly. But even I have heard a devotee, he was eating prasad, and just you eat prasad, right? And then some Dhanvasi just comes there, he offers, he takes and eats. So we would say, oh, how can you touch it? No, it was touched by untouchable. No, they know prasad, it cannot be spoiled. So that's a very classical example of how deep their understanding is. So maybe they cheated us, okay? So maybe we have something bad to say about them. But that's our personal, and that's maybe Jagannath's pastime. We don't know. Therefore, we should not get into the mood if we don't understand what's going on. We should not judge. Happen. But there are pure devotees of the Lord. But if we don't like the mood, then just stay away. Not from distance, respect. When Lord goes for Ratayatra, he goes on the chariot, they swear at him. They are swearing, pushing, now sometimes they do so many things which we wouldn't do. But this is how the Lord actually, he appreciates it. But we wouldn't do that. That's not our mood. But if Lord appreciates it, okay, I don't understand why, but no, I respect. Why not? So that's what we said. There are different mentalities, and the Lord reciprocates with each and every devotee individually. So Srila Prabhupada, he is coming. He is giving us the way how we can go back to Vrindavan. So once there, then you will have different understanding. And you will have the understanding of the Brijbasis, not once you become resident of Vrindavan. But until then, it will be very difficult. So you have to educate yourself first. Like, if you are not a doctor, then it's very difficult to understand what a doctor is doing. There was there was a veterinary doctor, and then he would go and he had the helper. And then once they came to a horse, the owner called and he said, he's choking, please come quickly and then help the horse. So he comes and then he sees diagnosis. Okay, bring me a hammer. So he brought the hammer and then he started to beat the horse in the throat. And then after some time, the horse just recovered, and then he was perfectly okay. Okay, so the helper saw it, right? So then after some time, then he said, I will become now my own doctor. I know how to treat. So he separated. And he goes on, and he starts treating animals with hammer. And then, few died. So then, the owners, they immediately complained to the king. Look what this guy is doing. He's killing our animals, and he says he's a doctor. So then, king calls him, and then, he's going to punish him. You say you are a doctor. Who taught you this kind of stuff? And he said, no, the other guy. So he calls for the doctor. And then he is supposed to be your disciple. And he is killing animals, saying that he is a doctor and you taught him. But I didn't teach him. He was my helper. I didn't teach him anything. So, and he was complaining. No, I saw you. Now, once we were going to the horse, and then you were treating with hammer, and then he revived. I said, well, that was a special case, because that horse, he swallowed the whole watermelon. So then he was choking, so I had to break the watermelon in his throat, and then he was okay. But that was a special case. So we have to understand the principles of what it is there. Then we can understand how to go around it. Yeah? Yes?
Can you leave another question?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I'm seeing myself not the first thinking, it's not that, okay, my first salary, half from that I get to 10. Unfortunately, I'm not thinking. But I try to be in a devotional mood, but it can be possible in this way. So how can it be possible? What the balance is?
See, Rupa Goswami, he actually describes how he himself what he did with the money when he gave up the job. So he had some savings then. Now, those savings then he, 50% he gave for the devotees, for the Lord. Then 25% then it will be for the relatives, and 25% he keeps for emergency. So it's not that whole salary now 50% goes for the Lord and the Vaishnavas. You have to still pay your bills. You have to pay whatever you need to for cooking and everything. So from whatever the income is actually, whatever it's the left from the extra, then you should give 50% for the Lord and the Vaishnavas. Then 25 you can distribute on the relatives, and 25 you keep for your own emergency. No, so it's the necessity must be taken care of. No, same like a businessman, right? No, businessman, he makes how do you call it? Isn't that profit?
Gross profit.
Or turnover. No, say like he makes $1 million. But out of that, he from the sale. But out of that, say, 500,000 was spent for creating the product, the transporting the product, on everything. So actually, he is having profit on 500,000. And out of that, then he has to invest for new development. He has to invest for this. He has to maintain. So maybe what's left is only 200,000. So his profit actually is only 200,000, not a million. So the same, when we get some salary, so then we have to see that not the whole salary, it's just to treat as we want it. We have to maintain the family, we have to pay the bills, and then what's left from it, this is what we can deal with by splitting it and distributing. But at the same time, we should not start thinking, okay, now because I got this much salary, so I can just, okay, buying TV is important, buying washing machine is important, buying new sofa is important, buy a new house, buy a new car, buy this. I have nothing left, sorry. No. So this is not the proper mentality. But no, you cannot really, that must be understood by the devotee who is dealing with it. Like if somebody is growing up and in like a rich family, some aristocratic family. So for them, the standards are somewhere else than for somebody who is growing up somewhere in slums or some village. The necessity, the needs will be different. So then naturally, those people may be living on different level than the other ones. So the expenses will be different, but still, that if some aristocratic person, doesn't have a palace, but he gets satisfied with $1 million villa, instead of palace. So it's a sacrifice. It's like austerity for him. So what can you do? Okay, so he does that much. And maybe when he gets more purified, then he may give this villa for devotees' use, and then he sacrifices even more. But everything is relative. The villager, for him, just to live, sleep on the floor in some grass hut, it's not the austerity at all. For him, he was living like the whole life. So then now he is living like that, he's just perfectly okay. For him, when he gets fan, so this is extra. That he gets so attached to it that he is unable to give it up. This is some gratification. therefore, that's happening. So like that. So it is actually relative. We have to understand how to see it, and we cannot judge somebody else's way of standards through our own standards. But we have to judge, knowing what actually our standards are and what they should be, because then, like that, we can relate to the Lord. Now, do we need the car which we actually never use, and the temple is 100 meters away from our house? Right? So, do we need the latest Lamborghini for that? No, maybe not. Maybe we can just walk. It's healthy anyway. And in the morning, morning walk is one of the best. But morning ride is more pleasant, right? So that's a consideration. But that comes within our heart. See, like Kulavecha Sridhar. Now, what did he have? He had nothing. The only thing, he would go and collect some mango leaves, put it on a banana plate, make a little lamp, and then just sell that. He would get few paisas for that. The whole day work, few paisas. But from that, then half goes to the Lord, and then he keeps the rest. So whatever it was, he would always give that much. He didn't have anything, but even from the anything, just he gives half. That's austerity. But it's for the Lord. So that way, then one has to judge, one has to be really open to himself, what it is that he can offer to the Lord, how much austere, what he can do. Maybe we don't have to buy the Lamborghini, maybe we can just buy some normal, maybe Trabant, and then maybe that will be sufficient for the... And of course, it may not be so prestigious. But, again, who cares? The prestige doesn't come in what we are, going in. Nowadays, yes, because we perceive it, because others perceive it, and we take on their mood. But the prestige, it's not connected to what we go in. It's not connected to the body. Actually, it's the qualities. So Haridas Thakur, he didn't have any of these, but he is regarded as one of the greatest Vaishnavas. And it's through his qualities, not that he had the best things in his time. Yeah?
One last question.
Okay.
Mahaprasada view can enter that 50%.
Sorry?
The Mahaprasada view can be included in the 50%.
If it's distributed, then why not? Well, you see, again, if also like eating Mahaprasada. No, eating Mahaprasada is nice. But eating Mahaprasada with somebody, that's much nicer. If we want something, then we should always count, maybe get more and distribute. And take it somebody, not together with somebody, with friends. It tastes much nicer. Practical example. Yes, so see, you have to judge yourself, because ultimately it's going to be between you and Krishna. Whatever you do, is it the maximum what you can, or can you do more? If you can do more, then you should be trying for doing more. If you cannot, then okay, if this is it, that's maximum, then Krishna takes it like that. Therefore, if a beggar comes and gives 1 rupee for Radha Madhava, I'm sure it's very pleasing. But if some rich millionaire comes and gives 100 rupees, that's an insult. The beggar cannot give more. So he gives as much as he can. So that's pleasing because that's the reciprocation. But the millionaire, he can give 1 lakh rupees. I mean, he has no problem with that. But he just, no, gives 100 rupees and makes show kind of like that. Everybody sees that he gives, no, 100 rupees. He may take even bill and kind of like it just, okay, write down, no, my name that, so I'm recognized that I have paid 100 rupees. That's not very pleasing. Of course, it's some sort of devotional service, but he could have given more. There was one businessman, and then very, very rich. And it was, well, some hundreds of years ago already. And at that time, he offered 1 lakh rupees in gold to Jagannath under one condition, that they have to use that money in one day. So, and he was thinking how smart he is. He knew that, now to do the whole book, even if you do huge quantity and your rich preparation, at that time will be probably just few hundred, no, maybe few thousands of rupees. We are talking about gold. So then he was thinking, now I outsmart. I showed them that, no, I offered, but they could not take it. That's what he was thinking. So then the pujari, he was lamenting, no, we cannot spend 1 lakh in one day. That's not possible. So then he was praying to Jagannath. No, please, Lord, what should I do? See, this man, he is now, no, showing us that we cannot use his money. So then Jagannath, he appeared in his dream. And then he said, no problem. You ask him, we don't want your money. You can keep. But just offer me just one thing. That we want for Jagannath one pan. Pan is not like the betel nut and the pan leaf, not true. But then that's one special pan. It's actually with the powder from elephant's pearl. It's a black pearl which is found in elephant's head. So just this, no? And Jagannath will be very happy. So the panda, he comes and he says, well, okay, maybe if you could just offer one pan, no, instead of the money. And but Jagannath, no, he gets very pleased if you offer one special kind of pan. And then he told him it's a pan with the elephant's pearl. Now the businessman, he understood now, because even that time it would be crores of rupees. He didn't have that much. So he understood that he actually got outsmarted by the Lord himself. So he now begged for forgiveness, and then he failed business to Jagannath, and he never tried again to outsmart the Lord. So Krishna is within us. He knows what we are thinking, what we are trying to do. So we should be honest and then try our best. And not try to be smarter than the Lord.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama.